Slots. Slots.
That's so good.
Welcome to the pod.
안녕하세요. We're your hosts. I'm Lois.
I'm Irene.
And today favorite.
We have the Korean snacks today. We have kimbap.
Woo! What's in the inside of the kimbap?
We have a bulgogi kimbap, yeah. A beef one, and then a udon, like a fish cake one.
Love.
And what better pairing than to have ramen with our kimbap? So if we're like slurping and snacking away this episode, don't mind us.
Yes. Snack with
us. We are hungry. Snack. So I guess this will be like a mukbang podcast.
Yes.
So
yes.
Hopefully this will be like a fun YouTube video, but I'm so hungry, so I'm a snack all
yeah.
this. But I mean, we're
snack
having
with us.
What are we talking about today, Irene?
Today it's gonna be about our culture as Korean Americans, the pains and gains that come with it.
Yeah.
So pros and cons, whatever you want
pros
to call it.
Pros and cons.
But we're ready to dive in with our traditional snacks over here.
I mean, because our podcast name is like 안녕하세요, and our tagline is peeling back the layers
mm-hmm.
of our culture, identity, mm-hmm. and we want to get to the culture part. So yeah, I think it'd be fun to talk about the pains and gains of our culture,
mm-hmm.
specific to Korean American culture, which I think can bleed into like Asian American culture,
mm-hmm.
Immigrant family culture.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there's like just so much we can say about this topic,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know, part of me wanted to start with the bad stuff and then get into the good stuff. I was like, let's just start with the good stuff. Like, what are we proud of? I mean, like,
let's be happy first.
I mean, obviously right off the bat is like food, like K food culture. Like, I feel like these days it's so popular to go to like K barbecue. Like,
even as a non-Korean, it's like really
exactly,
into different cultures.
Exactly. That's why it's like so exciting to like be a Korean right now.
What would you say are your favorite like Korean food? That is like your top two.
That's so hard, but I don't know why. I always say bossam.
Mm.
I love bossam.
That, for anyone who doesn't know, is like pork.
It's like a slow boiled pork with cabbage and
mm-hmm.
like kimchi, a sort of kimchi,
mm-hmm.
but it's like a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
But I love bossam and I love, I don't know, like any jjigae, like soups,
mm-hmm. soup,
like the soup or the stews.
Like soon tofu,
yeah.
The tofu.
I always say, like, I feel so bad for the people who will die without ever having tried sundubu
mm-hmm.
or this
tofu soup,
yeah, or like, you know, it's just so sad. It's like such,
yeah.
We have such good food.
I think it's interesting because as Koreans or as any Asian, I'm like, I need rice,
yes,
at least for one meal.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I'm traveling at different places, I'm like, the food is delicious, but as soon as I come home, the first thing I want to eat after a travel day is like shin ramen, which is like, you know, a little packet of noodles, and it's spicy, and it just, like, hits.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Korean people do really well is, when it comes to our snacks, it's, like, the savory and sweet combination.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our snacks have both combined,
mm-hmm.
so you get both.
Yeah.
And for food, it's, like, you know, a lot of us can handle the heat, the spice. And a lot of it is spicy.
Not me.
Not those, but a lot of food is spicy, you know, so it's supposed to make you, like, go do that sound, you know?
Yeah.
So I think
like this.
Nice. So yeah, I think like I feel proud as a Korean American
mm-hmm.
when I hear people who are not even Korean be like, I love KBBQ. Now
yeah.
that's like saying like I like pho to a Vietnamese person. It's like one of the basics, right? but at least it's getting people's like foot in the door of
yeah,
like
yeah.
what Korean cuisine is like
yeah.
because it's so complex. Like the way that we eat, it's like we have a lot of side dishes
mm-hmm.
that come with our rice dish, and that's not even the main course. It's like the additives, you know, and like we're so used to that kind of offering, you know. When it comes to other cuisines, like you just get your main course and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think for me,
my favorite,
which, you know, it's probably not a common opinion, but I really like Hidoppa, which is like, for people who don't know what that is, it's like sashimi with a red paste, like, sauce that you put on top of a bed of rice and lettuce.
I mean, it's basically like a
poke
bowl, but Korean style.
Yeah. And I just came back from a trip, and that's the first thing I ate when I came back. It's either ramen or that, because I feel like it's somewhat healthy, even though it's probably not. But I just like the fresh taste of it, and just like the mixing of the bowl, you know. It's kind of like bibimbap, which is basically like mixed rice with like meat, but with fish, like sashimi fish.
Yeah.
I would say that, and I really, really like gamjatang, which is basically like potato stew.
Yeah, it's like a potato stew.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we say it in English, it sounds so vanilla. Potato stew. Okay.
No.
But it's like, no, you have to understand.
Yeah. And it's like good for like a cold day.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about Korean culture is like when it's cold, we eat cold food, and when it's hot, we eat hot food. Because I think the methodology there is like, when it's hot, you're going to sweat it out, so you're going to cool yourself down and just sweat it out. And then when you're cold,
you go to Korea, I only know this through social media and just through friends, but you go to Korea in the wintertime when it's like freezing cold and everyone will still get an iced Americano.
Yes.
Like, that's like the thing.
And I'm hot-blooded, so I will always get an ice drink no matter what.
Yeah.
I just find that very interesting.
Yeah, it's like a thing, yeah.
You'd be like hot in the summertime and then my parents would be like, let's eat something hot. I'm like, it's hot though. It's supposed to cool you down.
I
don't know the logic. But yeah, I would say those two are my favorites. But Korean food is like in my top cuisines. So
yeah.
Maybe I'm a little biased.
Yeah.
But
it's just a safe, like, it's like comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, that's just what I want, you know?
You know what I find hilarious though?
Mm-hmm.
Is like, okay, when I don't know about you, but when I was younger,
uh-huh,
I would be so ashamed to bring the Korean food because of smell.
No, that's the thing too that I like want to talk about is like a gain, I guess, is that now it's popular.
Normalized.
I remember growing up, like, I wanted to bring kimchi.
Which is fermented cabbage.
Yeah, and like rice and seaweed. And everyone was like, ew, seaweed? Is that seaweed? Now in everyone's regular school lunches,
there's
Costco, and you're like, oh, here's the lover. Like the salted lover. And I'm like, what is a lover? It's seaweed. It's rice and seaweed.
Even in my office as a snack, they offer seaweed.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is
You're like,
rice.
Would you like a seaweed snack? It's great for your body. Like, oh, like, this is how I got rid of my acne, is I started eating kimchi. And I'm like,
we had that.
I know.
But I'm like, I want to say, like, no, you eat this with rice. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
But it's so funny that it's like, in Trader Joe's, and it's a snack,
little
bite-sized snack.
How times have changed for the better, I guess. But
now
I
can have that proudly.
I know, but it's just like, oh,
it took so many years.
Yeah, my childhood self, that, like, you know. Oh man, I think another thing that I'm proud of our culture as you snack, I'll let you go.
Yes, thank you.
Like, I think just like, K-culture in general has just picked up so much in our world today. Food is a big one, but also K-pop, hello. Like, we had an episode talking about BTS.
Woo!
I think, like, I'm so proud of, like, where we've come as a culture. And just like with Korean food, where I used to be ashamed because everyone's like, your food is smelly. I used to low-key be ashamed of, like, our culture, is even with music. And I think I touched on it briefly when we talked about BTS.
Uh-huh.
But, like when first-gen K-pop was huge, I think first-gen. So, like, Big Bang, Sonya Shide, like, that kind of K-pop. Like, that's when I was like, oh my god, I love them. And then I had a phase where I got a little bit embarrassed of K-pop because, I don't know, because maybe Gangnam Style was at the forefront of what K-pop was supposed to look like, and everyone's doing the Gangnam Style dance, and I'm like, oh, I felt embarrassed. I'm like, oh, that's not me. Like, I'm imbalanced. But I think when I started seeing BTS climbing into the U.S. and being on the U.S. charts and being on U.S. radio, I was like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's like not only a testament to their, like, you know, like what they've achieved, but it's just like such a testament to like how far we've come as a culture and as a country. And I don't know, like K-pop is like, I don't even know if it should be considered K-pop. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's so global. It's so like popular.
Like even right now, there's that Apatsu song with Rosé and
exactly
and
like
Mars.
American artists are like fighting to collaborate with like Korean artists. You know what
and
I
now
mean?
People know that Apartment Game, which is like a drink.
I didn't even know.
Now
that's
we
like
know
a,
too.
I know.
Awesome.
That's why I'm like, this is crazy. Like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, and I can kind of fall into that too. Before I got into BTS, I was kind of like, you guys like listen to your K-pop thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna stick to my American music. Mm-hmm. But even like as a Korean American, like I was falling into that too because I'm like used to the Western style of things,
mm-hmm.
and then I don't know, as little things come by, like the love for like my culture grew. As like, for example, Parasite, you know, very iconic movie. And if you haven't seen it, I definitely should. I think what Koreans do well, whether it be Parasite or Squid Game, and Squid Game 2 is coming out soon, we're so excited, is the way they do storytelling. So I think what people don't understand about Parasite, if they haven't watched it yet, is, or if they have, it's about the class system between different tiers,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't think you would know that right off the bat.
Yeah.
You would have to kind of like do a deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
And even Squid Game, kind of
mm-hmm.
like that too. It's kind of like touching on a deeper subject, but in a way that is digestible through the art of, you know, the film or whatever. And I don't know if other people have seen this, but there's also a show called The 8th Show from Netflix, which
mm-hmm.
is also Korean. And that is also based on class system.
Yeah.
But then the way that they execute these films to showcase that
mm-hmm.
in such a brilliant way, like, is amazing. Like, another good example, so many, is Culinary Class Wars.
I mean, just K-shows
yeah.
and dramas,
so
right?
Many.
I think, like, K-dramas in itself is,
mm-hmm.
like, its own world.
Yes.
And I love seeing non-Korean people who are, like, hardcore K-drama fans.
Yes.
Because, rightfully so, like, K-drama is its own subject of, like, storytelling,
mm-hmm.
of, like, there's such a vast array and, like, such a wide variety of K-dramas,
mm-hmm.
but there's always, like, a specific kind of formula that
mm-hmm.
we all know and love, which
the love
is
trope.
The love trope. The, like, I think something that is so infamous in K-dramas is the way love stories, like, move so slowly,
mm-hmm.
and we love it.
But in
know?
Western, it's, like, very quick.
Yeah,
know?
Like, it's so common to see a couple, like, sleep together in the first episode, but K-dramas could never.
No.
Like,
episode 14 that
they hold hands, and then they maybe kiss. But it's just, like, such a formula that we know and love, and it's just so specific to this
mm-hmm.
genre. And, like, the storytelling, too. Like, there are some dramas, like, oh, like, you know, are so good. Like,
mm-hmm.
Hospital Playlist, Reply 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the storytelling, the heart that is behind these dramas
mm-hmm.
is just so, like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, that I'm so proud of.
Yeah.
And that people resonate with, whether they're Korean or not.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. You know
and
what
it's,
I mean?
Like, become so, such a part of our society that, like, it's, like, from the music to the movies to the shows, it's in traditional media outlets
mm-hmm.
and on radio that it's like, oh wow, like you don't know about this. It's like it's the it thing right now.
Yeah.
Even now, like I remember Rosé Tteokbokki, which is like rosé flavored rice cakes, was like a trend in Korea, but it came to America,
mm-hmm.
and like people were like, oh my god, this is so good.
Yeah.
And it's just like a testament to like our culture in general,
mm-hmm.
where. It's infiltrating in America and beyond so
mm-hmm.
quickly. And I respect people who have a love for K-culture that aren't even Korean and they're out here like learning Korean and being better than they are. Or people who are born as
putting
Korean.
Me to shame.
Putting us to shame for sure. And yeah, it just shows like how music and media, like it transcends any language and people are willing to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
what they will do to learn or whatever.
Yeah. I think another thing of K-culture, this is like, I think this is a pro and con though, that I think some people can see as a pro and some people can see as a con. And I would say it's like the shame and honor culture in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cons to that that we'll get to when we talk about the pains, but I also think there's such a, like, beauty to that culture that we see in Korea, because, like, here, like, there isn't this strong sense of, like, honoring your elders. Like, I think we understand that we need to respect people who are a little bit older than us, or, like, at least, like, we understand hierarchy, right? And, like, we have to respect our bosses. We have to respect people in higher positions than us. But I think in Korea, that's, like, really strong. And, like, I think just in general in Asian American cultures, it's so strongly embedded. And I think there's a beauty with that of, like, respecting our elders and honoring them and, like, using 존댓말, which is, like, a formal way of speaking to elders that doesn't really exist in the English language. And, like, speaking to your parents or grandparents and calling them, like, 엄마, 아빠, 어머니, 아버님, like, whatever. Whereas, like, not to, like, judge or whatever, but, like, in American households where, like, you walk in, you see grandma, hey, Barbara. Like, oh, that's my father-in-law. Hey, Alan. Like, I could never.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Too.
That's really
yeah.
weird. Like, and I think some people would praise that kind of culture because
yeah.
I think it breeds, like, a sense of intimacy and closeness when you're able to call someone by their first name. But for me, it's like, I think for both of us, like, I could never. Like,
yeah, it's like, we're gonna get
yeah.
smacked, you know.
I know, it's like such a deeply embedded thing. And like even for older siblings and things like that, like I mean nowadays I'm able to call my sister like, hey Sharon ish, but I still call her Onni. Like I can't
my older sister.
I feel weird not calling her Onni, which is the word for older sister or oppa.
Older
which
brother.
Is for older brother. And it's just like a weird it's just like a respect thing that I still think is really important to hold as a Korean American.
Yeah.
Know.
I think it is a mixed bag with that, because I do understand, like, the respect thing. But having come from, or being born in America, like, there's something about, like voicing your opinion, which, I feel like in Korean culture kind of lacks. Like, it's either you listen to your elder, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts. But sometimes there, like, when it comes to the mixing of the two cultures, it's kind of hard, because, like, coming from the background that I am as a Korean-American, like, in Western culture, you're taught to fight for what you want, you know, be vocal. But in Korean culture, you're just expected to listen and accept, no matter what. And I think there's, like, a good middle ground to both of them.
Yeah,
I think there's rights to both, but there needs to be a middle, because I'm not one way and I'm not the other way. I'm, like, more in the middle. So I think, yeah, there's a balance to the respect thing, too. Because what I learned recently and came to terms with is, like, our parents are growing up, too. Like, you know, they're not perfect. And, like, it's up to us to educate them, too. But there's these systems in place, you know, from how they grew up versus how we grew up. So there's, like a battle, if you will, amongst the two.
I mean, that's, like, I guess the cons, too, of, like, the dangers of that kind of, and the toxicity that it could breed, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, any other gains that you can, any skincare even?
Oh, whoo! We are ahead of the game.
I know, truly, like, Korean skincare is its own, like,
genre
of skincare these days.
Yeah, I think Korean culture is, like, way ahead of its game, because I think, like, Western culture is always trying to play catch up, but I think parts of it are genetic, you know, which we were born with our families, but also they have such high importance and emphasis of that in Korea that like it's like the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
You know, people go there specifically to get certain skincare, certain like treatments. It's crazy. I don't know why, but we just are. Because I guess they just focus on their face and beauty.
I mean, which leads
which
to
is also
toxic.
Good.
Yeah.
Everything is good to go.
I know, truly. I think another one that I want to touch on, which is a little bit more niche and like specific to like Korean Christians, that to this day, I feel very thankful for in the Korean culture. Like, if you go to a Korean church, or if you grew up going to a Korean American church, it's the culture of prayer. that is really strong. And it's like, I feel like, because even if you're not a Christian, I feel like if you're a Korean, like this is something you're very aware of and very could have been exposed to, that I'm very grateful for. Of like, it's funny because like I grew up in a big Korean American church. And so like first gen, they're all like immigrant, the immigrant generation, like just prayer was like their big thing, right? And then it was funny, we would have these things called like early morning prayer or seryokido, where literally like they would do like a 2-week little event where every day we would go to church early in the morning at like 5 a.m. To like pray and worship, which is psychotic to anyone who like doesn't understand what that is.
Yeah.
They're like, what? But it'd be crazy because we would have these speakers come who are not Korean, who would come, and these are like big time speakers too, like big names in the Christian world, who would come and also be like, this is so like impressive and this is so specific to like the Korean culture, like Korean American culture of like, we rarely see this unless it's like with this Korean American immigrant church. And
not like devotion.
Yeah, but it's just like that like fervor and like fervent prayer that I still feel very proud of as a Korean American, and like very like it's so near and dear to my heart. I feel like
You experience that more than I. So
yeah.
It's interesting to hear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we touched on a lot of gains,
some
cons, but there are a lot of cons.
There are
a lot of cons that we are aware of. Ooh. So let's dive in because there's more of those.
What's one that you want to? I'll get into it.
Okay.
Eat a little numb a little bit.
For sure.
I think. I mean, we talked about skincare. We talked about like how that goes to beauty standards, and I think a big one. I want to specifically talk about a pain point that is specific to my experience, and it's low key about beauty standards, and specifically for me about like my body image. I think that's a thing that I wanted to like bring up, because I mean I never felt the need to get my face done. I never felt the need to like, you know, like the typical things you go to Korea and like, I'm gonna get my eyes done, my nose done, like I'm okay with all of that. But I think something that has impacted me is my body image. Because like you go to Korea and everyone is so skinny, I think. And like, I think just genetically Asians are smaller people. And so that's just like the norm that you see in the majority that you see is like to see these really skinny people. And that's just like norm. And so for me growing up, like I was actually super skinny. I think some people will say I'm still skinny. Thank you. But like I was hella skinny growing up, and my metabolism was like crazy, which I was thankful for. Yeah. You know, like, and like the thing is I would eat like crazy. Like I always had a good appetite. I was a really good eater, but I would like eat. And then my bowel movements were great. So it's just like, it would be a constant pattern of like, I would eat a lot and I'm trying, but people would be like, you're so skinny. But I think what impacts me to this day is that people will be like, you're so skinny. Oh, 너무 이뻐. Oh, so pretty. And really like praise my skinniness. And I think it's really common to walk into your family's like Thanksgiving dinner and all your aunties and grandmas see you skinny and are like, oh my god, you're so beautiful. You're so skinny. You're so beautiful.
But let's say you gain 5 pounds. The first thing they mention is like, oh,
exactly.
You gained weight.
And it's just like, oof. Yeah, literally. And like at one point, I felt like I was like unhealthy skinny looking. I was eating well, so I don't think I was unhealthy. But I just looked like so skinny. Like you could wrap my wrist around like easily like this. So at one point when I gained some weight, people will be like, oh, you look healthy. I'm like, okay, cool. But then, you know, I hit my mid-20s, my metabolism, you know, takes a little hit, you know, like we all do. And I started gaining weight a little bit more easily. And the comments would be, oh, it's hard to admit. Like, you gateway,
which
know?
I don't know why they bring it up.
I know,
like,
but
what's
that's
the
like,
point of
that's that? A, such a Korean thing is that like that's the first thing they bring up is they need to feel the need to bring up how your weight gain or your relationship status or having kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's
literally
it's like, yeah, literally like, oh, like, you gained weight. Oh, are you getting married yet? Are you dating? And then if you are getting married, are you having children? And it's like, just kind of like, oof, oof, oof.
Yeah,
like,
slow down.
I know, like, can I just be happy? But yeah, I think, to be honest, like, that has affected me when I hit my mid-20s and started gaining weight a little bit more, which I feel like I wasn't even, like, ginormous, you know? I feel like I just looked like a normal human being. And, like, I think people can also be like, well, there's unhealthy beauty standards in America, too, which is correct. But if, like, if you think the beauty standards here are bad, it's so much more toxic, I think, in Korea.
Yeah.
And then I think to be surrounded by moms and aunties and grandmas who come from that culture where it's so strongly embedded doesn't really help, I think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think... that. And I think it comes to us too. It like bleeds into us. Like we try not to, but it's so easy for us to also look at our friend and be like, oh, you're so skinny. Did
like
you lose weight?
You
look so good, you know?
Yeah.
And that
like
it's
you
like,
mean it in a good way, but it's like, what do you mean?
Yeah. So I think definitely like I've struggled with body image more so in my late 20s and now, and then especially postpartum did not help. Like, good God. It's like, you know, it's tough.
I think I can relate to you on that, because what I wanted to bring up in terms of beauty is the fact that, like, I think presenting yourself well is a good thing, but up to a certain point, because what we often face is, like, Korean culture is a lot about looks, like, how you present yourself, like, how you dress could dictate, like, how you're treated, because it's like a status thing, like you know, at church they would say Sunday best, right? You have to dress to the nines to be presentable because people are gonna judge you, and like that's in America too, like you're gonna be judged for the way that you look.
Yeah.
Yes, but especially in culture where it's like if you're not dressed a certain way, they're gonna look down on you or like think you're not capable or like suitable for whatever reason. Like there's like that first layer of judgment just from that, like from how you look and what you wear. And so I remember my mom would always be like, oh, make sure to always like look presentable, because you never know what like who or what who you're gonna meet. And I think in practice it's like practical, like always look your best, but then I think it becomes toxic when it's, like, fully ingrained and, like, they're mixing that with, like, weight and, like, all this stuff. Because even now, like, I would say, man, like, when I was, like, in high school, I thought the weight that I was then, I was fat. But, like, I'm, like, a little bit more than that right now. And I'm like, damn, like, I look back at those pictures, I'm like, damn, all skinny. I thought I was fat. And right now, I'm like, you know, like, I gained a little bit, but I'm like, dang, like, you're trying to, like, lose that weight because there's this quote-unquote beauty standard of, like, a certain number is beautiful, which is very toxic. Which is what we're trying to fight against, right? Because that's a lot of the toxic Korean mindset that, like, you know, us as millennial Gen Z, we're trying to break.
Because
it's not healthy, too.
What's, like, what are your thoughts on the culture with like plastic surgery and like that's not something you see a lot here, I guess, Korean American wise, but it's just like something that's very like in our minds, because like if people want to get work done, they go to Korea and they get work done. But especially in Korea, like I think it's so like it's so normal to get work done.
It's like a present that you get when you're 18 years old. It's like a gift. Like, like, oh, you graduated, here's your present. Like first thing, like eyelid surgery. I think before, like, I had a certain mindset of it, but now I'm like, if it's something that'll make you happy, like, do it. Like, if it's for your self-confidence and you need that, like, I'm not here to judge you for it.
Because,
you know, I've also, had those thoughts, and, like, I think everyone has their reasonings for doing certain things, and, like, as long as you're secure in yourself, and, like, know the reasons of why you're doing something, is not out of just pure validation, but just like, you know,
yeah,
you just want to like upkeep yourself,
yeah,
which
yeah.
I think is fine.
Yeah.
I think we've progressed as a society a lot where it used to be like very anti like plastic surgery, but now
yeah.
it's like you only live once.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel like you need it for something
mm-hmm.
and it's going to make you happy, like confident, like sure.
Yeah.
But make sure you're doing it for the right reasons and not because of, I don't know, someone said something and you're
yeah.
like, I gotta fix, you
yeah.
know. But like, let's say like that is inspiring you to do it. Like, yeah, all means like it's your face.
Yeah.
It's your body. But be safe.
Yeah.
You know, do your research. Do everything. Yeah. Because,
yeah.
Yeah, that's
just never
you can't like reverse that.
I
kind of
know.
Stuff.
I just asked because it's like I don't know if this would be seen as a pain or like a toxic thing, but because it's so normal in Korea, and also because I feel like we've had friends and we know people who have gotten work done, and like maybe one day I'll get my eyes done. Who
yeah.
knows? But I just like I guess I'm just curious like what the kids in Korea how they feel about that and like how it could impact their mental health. I'm just curious. I'm not even, like, we don't even have an answer, but I'm just kind of, like, to live in a world where, like, everyone gets double eyelid surgery, where everyone gets their nose done,
yeah.
and it's so easily accessible.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, what kind of, like, how that could affect young, growing children.
For sure.
I don't know.
I feel like it's, like, it'll make you, like, only think about your looks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Korea culture is also about dating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not with somebody, you're, like, seen as less than.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like it's tied together. Like, your looks and that,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
somehow, some way, showcases your status in society.
Yeah.
Because they all celebrate something called Haeye, which is 100 days of dating somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, when you go to Korea, like, people are coupled up. It's
normal. Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
Like, Korean dating culture
yeah.
is so intense.
Very intense.
It's so intense. Like you were saying, like, everyone's coupled up. And again, I haven't been to Korea in a while, but everyone who's gone in the past year
mm-hmm.
will say the same thing. Is that, like, it's weird to be at a cafe alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard. It's
yeah.
because, like, everyone is coupled up. Everyone is, like, matching. It's not even just coupled up. Like, they're wearing matching couple gear.
Yeah.
Like, they celebrate every little holiday. Like, there's, like, made-up holidays
yes.
for couples in Korea.
Yes.
Like, 100th day is a huge
mm-hmm.
thing. White Day, which is
mm-hmm.
kind of like a Valentine's Day
mm-hmm.
in Korea. There's Valentine's Day and White Day,
mm-hmm.
I think. Like,
mm-hmm.
they celebrate both.
Mm-hmm.
There's Beppero Day, which...
That just passed.
That just passed.
Yeah.
November, I actually forgot this year. That like, which is, like, on November 11th, 11-11,
yes. yes.
which is Veterans Day for us
yes.
in America. In Korea, it's, like, you give your lover these snacks called Beppero, which are these, like, little stick
uh-huh.
chocolatey things.
I don't really know the correlation. But
I don't know either.
Like,
but it's just,
cute.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
You know? But it's just, like, funny to me.
Yeah.
And it's cute to a certain extent,
yeah.
I feel like, but also so toxic if, like, it just makes you feel so less than if you're single.
Exactly. And, like, I think it's also, like, if you're not married by a certain age in Korea,
uh-huh.
You are seen as, like, less than, like, you weren't a catch.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks.
I feel like there might be a word for that,
mm-hmm.
like, for women at a certain
mm-hmm.
age who are still single.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know it off the top of my
mm-hmm.
head.
Like, I think I would be looked as that in
yeah,
Korea.
Yeah, maybe once you hit your 30s,
yeah.
or even late 20s.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I don't know, I feel like we're making progress in America here where, like, people are more accepting of, like, getting
mm-hmm.
married late and, like, women freezing their eggs
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But I feel like, freezing your eggs, I feel like, is still really taboo in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I just have seen and heard, maybe.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Like,
why is dating, like, tied to your self-worth? Or, like,
I don't know.
Like, what, like,
yeah.
like, because you're able to snatch someone,
yeah.
you know? And I think... As we talk about this, I'll go into something that I think is a con in our book, is, like, Koreans are known to have anger issues. And that's, like, a con of ours. And we can say that because we're Korean.
Yeah. K-rage.
yes. And, like, what if people are just dating people to say they're dating someone, but there's a lot of things that happen behind closed doors that you don't know about,
yeah.
and, like, people are actually suffering, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just for the status of, like...
Mm.
I got someone, mm-hmm. but I'm suffering because, you know, they have carriage or whatever. Because abuse is prevalent in Korea of, like, you know, husbands hitting their wives. And it's, like, it's just, like, I don't think it's right, but it's something that, like, irks me about culture, too, especially, like, older generation.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
I think there's still a strong, like, patriarchal kind of, like, system and culture in Korea where men are still seen as, like,
and this goes for, like, I mean, it's, like, a global issue, right?
Yeah.
But, like, in Korea we see it a lot where men are, like, still seen as, like, alpha.
Mm-hmm.
We see that here, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, yeah, I think for us growing up, too, like, I think what breeds into it being toxic is this idea still of, like, men don't cry, men
mm-hmm.
don't show emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is still so strong, and that's what makes it so dangerous. There's so many other layers as to why it can be dangerous, but I think that's what we see, because a lot of us growing up in our immigrant households, like, a lot of us can easily be like, yeah, my dad didn't really say I love you. Like,
mm-hmm.
my dad wasn't that affectionate. He
mm-hmm.
didn't hug me,
mm-hmm.
but he did X, Y, Z, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like,
mm-hmm.
something, like the whole, like, cutting fruit thing, right? Like, my parents didn't say I love you, but they would cut up fruit for me and leave it in my room. Like, that was how they showed love. And that, I feel like, it's so specific to the immigrant household and to, like, the immigrant experience, and, like, there's a sentiment to that that's so special, but also a sentiment of that to be grieved, I think,
mm-hmm.
when you're kind of like, oh, why can't my dad just say I love you? Why can't my dad?
Yeah.
You know, I think we're grateful for
mm-hmm.
all the ways they show love. Like, oh, my dad worked overtime every single
yeah.
day, and my dad worked so hard. He would come home, he would be exhausted. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay to also be sad and
mm-hmm.
grieve the fact that I wish my dad was just more affectionate, or
yeah.
I wish my dad literally just said I love you, or showed emotion and showed, like, that he loved me,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I think so many people, like, feel that.
And I think coming from, like that, and then being a Korean-American, it's like, there's miscommunication that's bound to happen, because, like, all we want is, like, vocalization, but, like, all they're used to is, like, through action.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't resonate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we only know as we get older, because we understand our culture better, and, like, where our parents are coming from. But when you're younger, you're like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even say,
kid,
you know,
you just
want to
be held and you want to be
yeah.
told that you're loved. But
all right, let's keep this train going, because I have another one.
Yes, go for it.
Academics.
Ooh.
Ooh. Man. Okay, so in Korea.
Kumon, anybody?
In Korea, it's all about academia.
Mm.
Like, your rank, your status is also tied to that. And so it's all about studying for hours and hours. Like,
I
want to
paint a picture for the
yeah.
people who literally don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know
mm-hmm.
how intense this is. But,
yeah.
like, I don't think people understand that, like, kids in Korea will go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine your full school day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, 9 to 5. They're at school 9 to 5. And then they have their 5 to 9. Like,
tutor.
All these
mm-hmm.
kids go to, like, it's called Hagwon, or, like, academy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an after-school tutoring, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're in school all day, and then after they go to, they
mm-hmm.
study more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these kids are, it like, their faces in their books
mm-hmm.
all day. And, like, and then they come home to study more.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and eat and sleep.
Yeah.
I've had experience that when I was in school, because it's just, like, prevalent.
Yeah,
culture.
And then it bleeds into here, because
yeah.
a lot of the Asian American kids here who are second gen,
uh-huh.
that's the parents, that's all they know. And
yeah.
so that's why there's these things called Kumon that
elite.
My white friends never heard of.
Elite
Academy.
Prepping for SATs,
yeah.
prepping for college.
There's, like,
all
these
them.
Things, like, college prep and SAT prep. Like, it's insane. Like,
yeah. So I remember, like, people would ask me, like, oh, like, would you want to have been born here or, like, live here? And I'm like, I think Korea is a great place to visit, but, like, I don't think I would want to live there because it's so intense. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, when you're in school, all you know is school, right? And they rank you as well.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're not within the top, like, I don't know, 10%, like, that's
yeah.
a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem, right? And the number of hours you're studying, like, I feel like that's why there's such a heavy drinking culture in Korea too, because Korea, you drink a lot earlier, but there's so much stress, and it's just like a, I guess a good escape. Even when you're working in Korea, like it's part of the Korean culture to like eat out with your colleagues
and drink
and drink, and like if you don't, it's like looked down upon.
Yeah.
So it's like heavy drinking culture, heavy
high stress,
academia,
pressure
culture, everything combined.
I think in Korea they even have like studios or like apartment buildings that are literally solely for kids who are like prepping for, I think like, I think there's a big exam, like, you know, with the SATs here in Korea, there's a big exam, I think, for college prep, but it's like way more intense, way more like, I don't know, but like they literally, some of these kids prepping in lieu of that exam and like during their last year of high school or whatever, like literally live in these like study rooms where it's like the room is like a studio. It's literally their bed and their desk. Like there's only room to study and sleep. And like, that's it. Like, I think there are those things exist in Korea. Like,
but
it's
like,
really crazy.
I do want to flip the script of like, Korea was like a growing country back then. You know, we didn't have a lot. And like, now it's like a booming country. And that comes from the grit that the people of our culture have. So yeah, there's a lot of cons to everything that we expressed, but it led up to our country like rising up to what it is today and being a booming country and you know, being developed in such a short amount of time. So I do want to pay homage and respect to that, because that's really hard, right? My parents' generation, like, all they had was, like, they had to eat something called, like, what is it called? It's, like, sujebi, which is basically, like, flour made,
it's like a
dough
soup. Noodle-y
soup.
Yeah.
But it's because, like, during the war or whatever, like, there was limited resources that they got from other countries, so they started making, like, food from like nothing.
Yeah, literally.
And so that's like a poor person's food from back in the day. And I freaking like sujebi.
Yeah.
But for them it's like a weird memory.
Yeah.
But coming from that to like what it is, you know, with booming Korean culture, booming music and media and like us getting more recognition in like these westernized settings and it being more widespread, like with everything else, it's like I'm so proud. Like, even though I'm not good at Korean, like, every time we win an award or something, I'm like, yeah,
I know.
Or, like, in Korean culture, soccer is, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
And,
World Cup.
And I remember, like, when I was younger, like, we made the World Cup 1 year, isn't it? And the time difference is wild, but we would be up at, like, 3 a.m. And, like, root for our, team. And, like, I think we, as a culture, are very big on, like, you know, yay, Team Korea, you know, rooting for us.
Yeah.
But also we're very, like, self-aware that we do have, you know, things to work on as a culture.
For sure. I think another pain point that I can think of off the bat, too, just because we also, hopefully people have listened to our conversation on disability, but I think that's a big thing, too, that resonates is that disability is so strongly stigmatized in Korea. I'm hoping that there's been progress, and I'm sure that progress is being made, but I feel like just in Asian American cultures in general, like, there's so much more stigma on disability that I even see it here, because it's like, even though we're in America, a lot of Asian American families don't know how to find help and or refuse to find help. I see a lot of Asian American families in denial and things like that. It just, like, makes me really sad because, it's just kind of like, dude, like, this isn't the worst thing in the world, but, and also your child needs help.
Yeah.
And it's like, you go to Korea, I heard, like, you won't see anyone with a disability walking the streets because they will be behind closed doors.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
also, like, and I think Seoul, like, in general, is not a very accessible city.
Yeah.
Like, my friends go there with babies, and it's hard for them to go around with babies because there's nowhere for strollers. Like,
yeah.
There's no ramps. There's no nothing.
So not accessible. It makes me sad.
Yeah. If it's not accessible to babies, it's not accessible to disabled people. It's just
or, like, even
like,
older, like,
yeah,
older grandpas.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, yeah, when I went, like, not too long ago, like, that's something that I noticed right off the bat. It's like, everything has stairs. It's things are narrow. There's no accessible locations. Like, I'm like, if there's even a disabled person, which I didn't think there were, because I never was exposed to one, I'm like, how do they get around?
They
stay
home. It's sad.
In Korea, like, it's a very subway system-oriented place. So you have to keep, like, walking, and, like, you know, it's a buzzing city, so, like, it's jam-packed, and, like, you have to navigate all those streets. And, like, even for me as a traveler, it's so hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, another one, Korean culture kind of doesn't talk about mental health.
Mm-hmm,
and, like, that's a big thing, too,
right.
Where, like, you know, it can be a debilitating thing, but it's kind of, like, a hush-hush thing. Like,
mental health is also stigmatized, but also, like, I don't know if you ever heard this from your parents, but, like, like, this is very Asian, American, and Christian niche, but, like, our parents would always be, like, you can pray the depression away. Kind of like very like you're not depressed. You just need to pray. And
or like just
like,
sleep it off.
No, literally. that's like so crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like that's kind of what we would be told is
that
like if you're depressed, it's on you. It's like you're being lazy.
Yeah.
You're just sleeping and you're just not doing the work kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really sad. It's kind of
like. I mentioned this in episode 8 when I'm talking about my disability, but when I brought up to like my mom about like wanting to have therapy, I remember she was like, "I don't really get it, but if you need it, like yeah." And I think that was in their own way progressive because like she doesn't understand what I mean when I'm like, you know. But I was like literally at my wit's end, and she was like, "Okay, like." You need to just do it. But she was like confused.
Yeah.
And because it's just like not talked about.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't think she knew how to navigate
that. I think, I talk about how like, or I never talked about, but like back in high school or my senior year of high school, like, I don't think I've ever fully experienced depression like at its height. But I had depressive episodes, I think. And that was my first time feeling that way. In high school, I think there was just a lot of navigating a lot of change. I think I was very overwhelmed, anticipating college, and like, because I think like all throughout your life, like K through 12, like you have a Monday through Friday system of like going to school every day. That's your life, and I'm very routine based. So the thought of going to college and not having class every day and not being close to my friends, not being close to my family was like really messing with me, and so. I think I was, like, a little bit depressed. I don't want to, like, diagnose myself nor say I was fully depressed. But, yeah, I struggled with my appetite. I struggled with just, like, connecting with people. I didn't want to talk to my family a lot. And I just, like, was struggling. And then my mom would be like, you need to pray. Go to your room. She'd be like, you're not depressed. This is a spiritual battle. Go pray. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and like back then I didn't know any better. I'm like, okay, yes, I need to pray more. I just
need to feel better.
And like, I think to an extent, yes, there are like spiritual components to when you're battling like that. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. I wish, you know, like, I'm like, man, I think I was a little bit depressed, but it took me a while to like, kind of in hindsight, figure that out. But you know, at the time it's like, my parents are just like, you're being a horrible daughter. You're not talking to us. You're not eating. And I'm like, dude, I think I was depressed a little bit. And like, they didn't know. And I didn't know.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how to navigate something like that. So that's just my experience, you know, with like.
So convoluted. Because it's like,
because
it's not talked about in our culture. Like, I think our jobs as Gen Z and millennials now is like, taking the good parts of our culture and kind of reworking the things that are, you know, not, like, good for us.
Yeah.
That we're trying to rework from years and years of
ending the cycle.
Cultural aspects.
It's like a battle of like ending the toxic cycles while also trying to carry on traditions and pieces of our culture that we want to pass on to our kids. And how do we keep this alive? And how do we like even just the Korean language? Like I suck at Korean.
We do.
And I want Levi to learn Korean, but at the same time, it's just like I can't do it. And like now he's just a fully English speaking little baby, and I'm like I have failed. Like you know, and it's just
literally
like,
we have friends that are true bilingual individuals, and I'm so jealous.
I'm so jealous.
So jealous.
I have friends with kids who their kids are fully speaking Korean, and then Levi can't communicate because he's like, hi, Levi. What you want? What you doing? And they're like, mom? Oh,
what?
Somebody
else.
Like,
what
in Korean? And I'm like, oh, man. Like, I'm losing my, like, you know? There's just the...
That's what I'm scared of, too, because I'm also not good at Korean. And also, like, I feel like I'm going to lose the language, number one. But also, there's, like, a lot of... cultural holidays that you know, like I'm only reminded because my mom keeps on to us. But like, for example, like Thanksgiving is November for Western, but in Korean culture, I think it's September.
Yeah, it's like
so,
a more fall.
Yeah, and it's like on the one hand, it's like I don't think I appreciated it when I was younger, but now I'm like, oh, like I do like those little cultural things that we get to do, you know, to celebrate, our elders and whatever. But I'm like, I can't keep up, you know. There's
I know.
Just a lot of different things. I forgot about pepperoni, to be honest with you.
I know.
Until I was with a friend during my most recent trip, and she's married, and she got two boxes of pepperoni, and I was like, oh, shit. It was like a really cute note, like happy Pepero Day. I'm like, great, I wouldn't have known that because I don't have anyone right now. So, you know, there's a lot of things I missed too. So, you missed it, but I missed it too. So, what does that say about you? You missed it, and you have a whole boo.
But, oh my gosh, I mean, I guess like the one thing I want us to like ask and think about is what is a tradition or something about Korean culture that you want to break, I guess, like, what's the cycle you want to break? At least maybe specific to your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's something you want to pass on to your children? Or, you know, I know we talked about having children or not.
Yeah.
But if you were to pass on to your future children, what that would look like.
How about you go first? Because I need some time to marinate.
Me too. But I think something that Ben and I have tried to be more intentional with is, like, showing our affection and our love.
That's a good one.
I think something I'm so grateful is that I have, like, when I mentioned a lot of people struggled with fathers who didn't say I love you, I was really grateful to have a dad who was very affectionate. And so I'm really grateful for that, and I'm grateful to be able to pass that on, but also to see Ben want to do that too. And see how Ben is so affectionate with Levi and so like always saying I love you. And I think how we do conflict because
that's
big. I think that's like we don't address conflict well, I think, in immigrant family homes. What they say sorry when they say I love you or sorry.
They give you freaking bird, which I understand. I'm like, just say the dang word.
I know. I think we're really bad at saying sorry. We're bad at apologizing, confronting, and communicating when there's conflict in our homes. And I think that's something that me and Ben are trying to be very intentional with our kid, is being like, we even apologize. So I'm sorry I yelled at you.
Oh,
like,
that's good.
And being more like using our words and our language. And so I think that's something that we try to cut off and change.
Okay.
In terms of what I want to pass on that I learned from my family, I don't know. I think the respect of elders is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's important for Levi to, if he were to have a sibling, that sibling call Levi oppa or hyung or whatever, like older, like address them in a certain way. And I want Levi to bow to his elders as we do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. Like, in Korean culture, we bow and say, 안녕하세요. Like, that's how we
greet
our elders,
yeah.
as we bow to them. And I think that's such a beautiful thing that I wanted to continue and carry on.
Yeah. It reminds me of, for anyone who watched Elemental, the ending scene. You know what I'm talking
tears.
About. You know what I'm talking about?
Tears.
If you don't, look that up. Look that up. Elemental.
I mean, Elemental is an immigrant story
it
for
is.
Those who don't know.
Yes.
but yeah, literally that and I think also just this love for Korean food. I am so thankful we live in a world where now everyone's eating seaweed snacks. Like, I want Levi to have seaweed snacks at school whenever he wants and be proud of kimchi and his food. Yeah.
Watch, you're going to pack him KBBQ.
I know.
So jealous, you know? as you were talking, actually, I'm going to go kind of an interesting direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing I want to break is... women doing everything in the household.
Ooh,
yeah, I want it to be like
spicy.
I want it to be equal.
Oh.
Because I think in my household, like you know, which I also respect. My dad's like the handyman. He fixes everything. He does all the whatever. And then you know, my mom, she helps with the household, right? And it's good. But sometimes I'm like, you know. He's waiting to get the rice. I'm like, you could pick up the rice, you know? But I'm like, that's what I want. Like, I just want, like, okay, like, hey, I'm tired today. Like, you can do the food or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't cook, but I'll, like, to go as food, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I think I would break, like, expectations of, like, what a man and a woman should do. And I think that's, like, where my quote-unquote feminist side comes from. Of, like, things can be shared or, like, you know, when you feel like giving 20, the other person gets 80. Like, that kind of, I think it fits me more.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I feel like I identify with my Western identity and also Korean identity in different aspects. You know, it's not an even split if it's 50-50. And then for things I want to keep, I think, like, the culture that is behind, like, our New Year's. Like, you know, the bowing thing that you mentioned, which is basically, like... as the new year comes, New Year's for us as a culture, it's like about bringing prosperity and luck in the new year and like blessings. So when you're younger, you bow to your elders and you know they exchange words of encouragement and you get a little moolah. You know, you can save that for cash for something down the line.
Yeah.
But like I think the culture importance of like why we do that and also we eat something called like rice cake soup, which is like
tteokguk,
which is more to add on to that prosperity kind of like messaging and I think it's like a beautiful thing like where like there's a reasoning of why we do things like that and I think also like there is an element of like well it's like complex but I think in our culture like as kids we want to always give back to our parents for everything they've done for us. Like we always feel, or I feel indebted.
Yeah.
So I feel like let me just make you know things happen for them, and like it's a lot of weight on our shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes, but I also love the fact that like we don't like they like carry us till like we're older.
Yeah.
So like in Korean culture, like you don't really necessarily leave the house until you're married.
Yeah.
And so, like, they care for you until that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I feel like there's a role reversal down the line of, like, taking care of parents, like you mentioned in our grief episode.
Yeah.
And I think there's something beautiful about just, like, having our parents, like, sacrifice so much of themselves and, like, us just giving, like, 2% of that back.
Yeah.
And, like, that I feel like makes you... more compassionate individual, a more compassionate, like, loving individual that, I think I find beautiful, that I want to preserve, too.
That's
beautiful. and also the food.
Yes.
Bomb.com.
I know. I think we need to do a better job of learning, like, how to make Korean food so that...
Yes.
Like, again, it doesn't have to always be the woman, but just as people, as Korean people, like, I just want to, like, get better. I'm making Korean food.
Yeah, like
make that for my children.
I've literally never made kimchi before.
Oh, kimchi? Me neither.
Kimchi is fermented cabbage, for those who don't know. You eat that as a side dish with like rice or like ramen, for instance. And like my parents, like they'd be like, you know, getting a head of cabbage, putting all the pastings on it. Like
it's like an
it's
art.
A labor
it's
of
a, it's
love.
A labor of love.
Yeah.
It's an experience.
I've never done it before,
I
but I know our friends' parents have done it with them.
Oh,
like, oh
I know. That's
we'll learn. We'll learn to
sushi making class.
Yes. But thank you for joining
us. I know.
On this
Let's
konbe.
So, cheers in Korean is konbe. So, we'll konbe our ramen cups.
Ramen cups.
Konbe. Cheers. Jan.
Until the last
Until
episode.
The next one.
Woo!
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.